KFMU DJ Eli Campbell here. One thing that makes Steamboat special is how many awe-inspiring people call our valley home. You could find yourself in line at the coffee shop next to an Olympian or sitting on the gondola next to the founder of a world-renowned business. Our community produces and attracts the best of the best in their respective fields, but most are so humble about it, you would never know. These extraordinary people are the common folk in the boat. Welcome to Common Folk in the Boat. Eli Campbell here with you from 104.1, 105.5 KFMU. David Whitlinger, as always, from Billow Premium Cannabis right next to me. We'll get to you in just a moment.
Thank you.
Yeah, as we always do, we put you off to the side for just
that.
A second.
Wow.
But we have a great episode today. We're going to be talking to a founder of a local ski company, Harvest Skis, Eric Baker, but he's more than just the founder of a ski company. He's a multi-talented man, a musician, an arborist. He's my personal arborist, so really looking forward to having that conversation. Of course, these conversations are made possible, though, because of Billow Premium Cannabis, and I think you're a multi-talented man as well, right? We're still trying to figure out what talents.
I'm trying to figure out what the talents are, but sure, yeah.
Well,
go with that.
You're talented enough to be here today
okay.
And to tell us a little bit about what Billow is high on, which is how we start every one of our segments, is kind of what are you positive about this week?
Well, it's funny. So this is kind of unrelated specifically to Billow, but it has to do with the industry. So I just read an article. This is fascinating to me. I geek out about the science. They finally, I mean, we've known for years that weed causes the munchies, and that was always the joke in the industry.
Yeah. They needed a study for this.
Apparently so. So
people have been testing this since the 60s.
Where I got confused is how did I not get on the invite list to be one of the case studies, right? I'm sure half of our customer base would have loved that. No, Washington State University finally did an actual study. Now, theirs was different. Of course, they've studied this in the past where they've injected THC into rats. But they did something different this time where they actually vaporized the cannabis smoke and put these rats into hyperbolic chambers while they basically monitor their feeding patterns. And they have finally, scientifically, Washington State University, it's a peer-reviewed study, has finally gone on record to say, yes, we have now identified the neurons in the hypothalamus that get activated with cannabinoids that it also triggers appetite. And where this becomes, I mean, all joking aside, you know, you can talk about Doritos jokes all day, but the reality is there are a lot of medical cannabis patients. Many of them shop with us kind of thing. And so we are very hyper aware of the medical side of right. this industry. And to have something that's a naturally produced, you know, cannabis is grown in as a plant, right? But the point is that if we can find something that naturally stimulates appetite for patients that struggle with that, I mean, this is kind of cool science.
All right. I was going to make a joke about Taco Bell funding this research, I think that you make a good point.
As I said, they've done the research on rats so far, but the minute that they start, you know, asking for human, you know, volunteers, I'll make sure that you and I are on that short list.
Get on the Billow email
list
for that.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly it. We will let everyone know via our email or whatever, socials.
Right. Well, as I said, we are going to be talking to Eric Baker today, founder of Harvest Skis. A man who has also played the mandolin for a number of local bands, Old Town Pickers and Buffalo Commons, an arborist in town, and just someone that really enjoys living here in Steamboat and producing products that Steamboat loves to consume. So we're going to bring Eric to the couch. Welcome, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Eli. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Now, as I mentioned, you're a founder of a ski company. You worked as an arborist. You're a musician. Something though brought you to Steamboat Springs originally. What was it that attracted you to the Steamboat community to kind of explore all of those different passions in your life?
Yeah, good question. I was living in Boulder for about 9 years, basically, which is pretty awesome town and community.
Congrats.
There you go. Go Buffs.
I have to turn your mic on. That was by design.
Muted. Love it.
Yeah. So what brought me to Steamboat? So I was living in Boulder and I had made one trip to Steamboat with an old girlfriend from Boulder in my 1970 VW camper. And the van actually died coming down from West Summit, coasted it all the way down and ended up at the, you know, the chain up spot at the bottom of the pass, called Grandma's Towing, which is not a business in town anymore. They towed the van. They were awesome enough to let us stay in the van in their shop for the week it took them to fix my Volkswagen.
Is that considered affordable? That would be affordable housing now.
Oh, heck yeah. That was like real Western Steamboat hospitality right there. They were like, sure, just stay in the camper in the shop. We were like, okay. And coincidentally, there was a rugby tournament in town. And so we were going to, at the time, what used to be BW3 is the big party. Anyway. I don't want to get into those stories, but we had a great time. And I was like, wow, that was my first time to Steamboat. What a cool community. And so back to Boulder, and I was working at the Oasis Brewery, and this guy comes in, and he's the new MOD, manager on duty, right? He's on the floor, and his name is Jim Hoy, another Steamboater. And he had come down from Steamboat and started working at this restaurant. He was going to college, getting his teaching certificate, yada, yada, yada. He moved in with me and another guy that worked at the bar, and he kept going back to Steamboat. It was that winter of 95, 96, right? Mm-hmm. And he was just like, oh my God, it's so sick. You got to go up there. And so I started visiting Steamboat with coming to see Jim and his group of friends and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this is where I want to be. So basically it's Jim Hoy who brought me to Steamboat. You know, I knew I wanted to be back in the mountains and not like right close to the mountains. Cause Boulder's awesome. It really is, but you're still traveling to do mountain sports and activities and stuff. So I moved to Steamboat in August of 99.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and that's, I think the mentality of a lot of people that live up here now is I'd rather live here and travel 10 minutes to the playground than live in Boulder, where maybe there's more conveniences or more professional opportunities, but you're having to drive so much further to that playground that you want to be in. So there you are. You come up to Steamboat. Dare I say you're a ski bum. Now, I've had previous people take exception to that, but you know, I think there's some pride in people coming up here just to ski. And then eventually, over a course of time, you decide maybe I should make my own skis. Talk a little bit about the inspiration to start Harvest.
Yeah. Wow. So, ski bum for sure. Just absolutely love skiing and like all of its different, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Nordic, Alpine, telemark, snowboarding,
all the different disciplines.
There it is. Discipline. I was looking for that word. There you go. Thank you. Really what the inspiration was is, I had just discovered surfing and spending a lot of time in Mexico, and learning to surf, and, met these guys that were, you know, surfboard builders, shapers, you know, making these boards by hand. And I was like, and I knew people were doing that, but I had never seen somebody do it and met somebody who does it. And it's funny because it was this one guy who drove down with an old van from Telluride that was full of like blanks and fiberglass and resin, all the stuff you need. And he was shaping there on the beach at this break. So it was really, really cool. So I just thought, you know, wow, how rad is this? This guy is hand making this art basically, and then using it as a tool for recreation and fun. Right. It just blew my mind. And so, that's what I wanted to do. I was like, I need to build a surfboard, and, you know, came back to Steamboat and thought about it and said, you know what? That's kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Not a lot of product testing could be happening here.
I've seen some surfboards. People surf the a-hole before every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. But I was looking for, you know, down there it was, you're in just board shorts all the time. Water's warm. It's just awesome. So, So I decided, you know, hey, I love skiing so much that I bet, you know, I could do this. I know people are, there's like garage brands out there. People are doing it. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to start making some skis. And it was at a point in my life where I used to have this business in town, this arborist business called Ski Town Tree Care. And I was actually wrapping that up, and deciding to move on to something different. And, so all of a sudden I had some time, some resources. And so I kind of dove into it and started really researching and looking for information on how to do it, what people were doing, materials, all that kind of stuff. And in that research too, I was discovering all these little micro brands and little boutique brands. And, there was one in Colorado, and it was in Denver at the time, called Grace Skis. And this guy named David, who's awesome dude, I just showed up at his shop one day. I found it on the internet, and I was in Denver, and I'm like, I'm just going to cold call this dude, show up. And I said, hey, man, I'll just push the broom around and do whatever you want. I just want to take a look at what you're doing. And I'm just really into this. And I had shown him some comps of ski designs and stuff that I was going to make, you know, that I was already starting to go on this. And he was really cool. He was like, yeah, heck yeah, do whatever you want. You're like, hang out. And so that was kind of the impetus. I was like, yeah, okay, I can do this. And then I also went to Meijer and got a tour of their factory. At that time they were in basically like Carbondale, but now they're in Denver and a lot bigger than they were at that time. So that was it. That was actually the inspiration. It's like, let's make a surfboard. Nah, let's make skis.
And your original skis, and still are wood-based skis. And you mentioned you're an arborist. And so how did you, when you were first doing this, you were using local wood from the area. How does that play in your background of knowing the nature, knowing the trees, knowing the wood play into the Harvest Ski brand?
Sure. We were out there cutting a lot of trees and felling a lot of trees. So I had wood on hand. And at the time, I actually had a bandsaw mill as well. And so I knew that aspen is in the same family as poplar. It's like the poplar family, aspen, poplar, willow, that sort of stuff. And I had a lot of aspen. And so I thought, oh, let's just try it, you know? And I milled up boards, glued up into core blocks, cut cores and stuff, and started using aspen. And I mean, what I was doing at that time, and I'm kind of actually reverting back to, is I was using the wood in its, like, you know, its purest form. Whereas that means that, like, all the knots, all the imperfections, impurities, whatever you want to call them, the character for me, I was leaving that in the wood. So, and in the beginning I was using clear topsy. So you could see the core and you could see all these knots and figure and stuff. And it just looked really cool. Now, honestly, you know, the big boys, they wouldn't use wood like that because, you know, it's not super consistent and it causes a lot of machining issues and stuff because the knots and stuff are unstable, blow out, whatever. I didn't really care about that. For me, it was more about what it looked like. And aspen actually, turns out is an awesome wood for ski cores. It's super lively. It's light. The only thing that's not so awesome about it, it's a little softer than like traditional, like poplar. Poplar is like the best kind of all around ski and snowboard core wood, you know? Yeah. So yes, that's how I had all this wood and milled it up. And actually my very first pair of skis was actually super handmade because I used a hand block plane to thickness the skis, you know, the taper from tip to tail, thinner at the tip, wider underfoot, or, you know, thicker underfoot, and then thinner at the tail again. And so that was like, that was a pain. And now I use tools, you know, like machinery. So
you were taking a page out of the surfboard guy's book where you just wanted to sit on slopeside and make your skis out in front of everyone. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was because they do that. Well, now that was back in the day, but now they use like a skill planer. I use a planer too. So, but yeah, you know, Doing it. Handmade.
Sorry, I gotta ask because I'll forget. But no, I never put it together. But is the name Harvest, is that because it just plays into the fact that you're harvesting this wood? I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, actually, I get that question a lot. Like, where'd you come up with that name? So that was one thing that I toiled over because, I don't know, I didn't want to like, I don't know. It's like hard. Like branding is hard. I just really, I don't know. I just kind of started thinking about all of this stuff with skiing, right? Like I start thinking about skiing in the fall, right? Which is traditionally like harvest time, in the ag world, right? You know, you're up there farming your turns, kind of conserving powder, right? And, you know, in the spring, we have corn skiing, and the Loveland ski area always has this annual corn harvest, they call it, right? So all those words kind of, or, you know, all those things kind of played into harvest. Like it all kind of came down to that. And I was like, wow, that's cool. There it is. I'm going to use that.
And it's a great name. I love the name. I love the designs on most of your skis. You talked a little bit about the attention to detail that you've put into these skis. And I love the way that on your website you talk about it's kind of like a farm to table approach or a microbrewery, small batch approach to making skis, trying to take the consumer into the mindset of, you know, the big guys. Sure, they can mass produce something, but it's not going to have the attention to the detail that you're able to put in by really hand working every single ski. Can you talk a little bit about that mentality in the ski work?
Yeah. So, you know, with that, like, yeah, that handmade kind of thing in the beginning, that was my kind of my whole concept, in, you know, in the same, vein as these other boutique ski builders. There's tons of them that are out there. Once you dig into it, you're like, wow, there's a lot of people doing this, and everybody has their own little niche or their own style or what makes them different. I really wanted to kind of devolve ski construction and go back. I mean, because there's like, you guys have seen them, there's like really cool like all wood skis with linen stone edges and all this cool stuff, you know, that before metal edges and before P-Tex and all that stuff. And I really dug that, and I kind of wanted to go back there, but you know, I realized there's a reason why people use P-Tex and metal edges, right?
Yeah.
So, but I could still keep the core all wood, and I, you know, no metal and weird composites and stuff, and showcase the wood. And then I started like drawing little mountain scenes, on the skis, like near the tail and stuff. And I would sign it and write a little bit about the skis, when they were made and all that kind of stuff. But you know, after a while I was like, I should probably ramp this up a little bit. And so I actually, started a relationship with Never Summer to do mass production. Cause I thought, ooh, I need to compete with the big boys, when actually that was actually not a good move. I think, in my opinion. So I've decided now to revert back to the original mission, in the same vein as the hand shaped surfboards and stuff like that. And so now I'm going back to making more like custom stuff and stuff that I really want to make. It's a little bit more backcountry focused. I've been making some big snowboards, like 170, 181, like big powder boards and stuff like that. So, yeah, kind of going back to that handmade vibe and attention to detail. And, you know, I can get a custom top sheet made or whatever you want to do, if you have some art that you want to put on it or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And so you're talking about, you know, the backcountry and different things that are inspiring to you. You're someone, when I look at the Harvest Instagram page, you're out there living the product all the time. You're testing your own product. And here in the Yampa Valley, I feel like it's a perfect playground for someone like you that wants to experiment with maybe a ski that has the fish scales built in, like the Homegrown Tour, because, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody wants to go charge up to do the steepest terrain. We're the type of people here in Steamboat that kind of look around and say, Hey, that hill can only give me three turns, but those are going to be three great turns. Let me just go pop up there real quick. Can you talk a little bit about how the Yampa Valley and the Steamboat community specifically have inspired some of your designs and what you're putting into the skis?
Yeah. The fish scale base is something like, once I discovered how you can use it in a real alpine ski, I mean, it just blew my mind. And I'll tell you a story, like, because I do, like, back home where I grew up in Finger Lakes, we used to ski at Bristol Mountain, and I was a lifty there in high school. I mean, it was like, that's, you know, skiing was just it, you know. And but around our house, we used to take these really skinny Nordic skis up on in the woods on the hills and stuff like that and try to ski them, and it was just more comedy than anything, right? And but it was fun. And so I've always been into kind of touring in the woods, walking in the woods, like traveling, like point A, point B. Like, that's what I thought is so great about kayaking and rafting, right? It's a journey. It's a, you start here and you end there. And the trip is about everything that happens in between. And so touring is like that. And so I was using these skinny fish scale base skis and stuff, and just my boots were too much for the ski and all that kind of stuff, and it wasn't matching, the ski wasn't matching what I wanted to do. So I went to the ski house and I saw these skis that were still kind of narrow, but they were getting there, and they were on sale, and I was going to buy them. And another Steamboat legend, Todd Fellows, came up to me and he's like, "I'll give you those skis, Baker." And I was like, "Really?" He was like, "Yeah, if you want them, I'll give them to you. But you should wait, because Volley, which was the inspiration for me for the scaled base skis, I got to give him a shout out. He said, they're making this ski that's coming out this fall. It's exactly what you're looking for." And so I said, "Okay, I'll wait. I'll trust you." And sure enough, it was the Charger BC. Bought the ski, freaked out. And then I was like, "Okay, I want a bigger ski." And so then I just
started, you took it apart and you redesigned it.
I just was like, "This is awesome, but I want a bigger ski." Cause like my skis now that I ski on are like, you know, 116, 122 underfoot, like big fat scale based skis. Cause generally I'm just searching for soft snow, and and that was the inspiration. And Steamboat in Route County is, you know, we have a lot of really accessible terrain that is very much rolling, up, down, up, down, up, nothing steep, straight up, where sure, skins, like if you want the best, most efficient, fastest way is to strap on skins and go right straight up it. But I really don't want to work that hard. So, scales, there's no transition. I kind of tell people it's like single speed mountain biking, you know, you're like, "All right, I'll see you guys later," you know, cause you have one gear and you kind of have to do it. And so scale skis are like that. You can just keep going. There's no transition. And for me, that's really what it's all about, is just traveling overland and Ravager's Pass, Buff Pass, you know, flat tops out there. Dunkley is great. Emerald has really great, fun, low angle skiing. All this, obviously the side country off Steamboat. I mean, there's everything. So that works so well with scales. I mean, I can do everything on scales and not ever use skins. So,
yeah. And though, and you say that, and there's also the people, you could put skins on those scaled skis if you want to go straight up Heavenly Days, and they still ski just perfectly fine coming down. And I've been surprised by that, is like, you know, they have scales on them, but you really don't notice it as you're skiing down, especially when the snow is soft and fluffy, which is what you're mostly using these skis to go find.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I tell people, because everybody wants a one ski quiver, right? You know, and, but I tell people, like, yeah, sure, you can take these up on the resort, but as soon as you hit like a flat or a catrack or something, you're going to feel those scales. So when I take them up to the ski area, it's all because I'm just going to tour all day off into the, you know, side country. So yeah.
Now, you talked a little bit about this, how when you got into Harvest, and even now, there's plenty of other big companies out there that are making the skis. There's a lot of these little small batch companies. What has helped Harvest separate from the crowds out there in an industry that is pretty saturated with competition?
Yeah. It's tough. It's actually a really small industry. With, you know, once you start talking about you know, being out there, like putting yourself on that basically national or international stage. It's difficult because there's a few, you know, those legacy brands, Razzie, K2, I'm blanking right now, Atomic,
Solomon.
Yeah. All these massive, basically corporations at this point, you just can't compete. Nordica, you just can't. And there isn't really any bad skis out there anymore. Everything's skiable, works, all that stuff. But it is a very small industry, that's hard to break into. So I think for me, that where I found success, I got a lot of feedback from like the graphics. I mean, which to me was the last thing I even cared about, because my original skis, I was just trying to showcase the wood. And I was like, well, I'm gonna put a couple stripes on, you know, and that those colored stripes was an inspiration from a guy I know from California who was making surfboards. And he had these cool chevron type designs on his surfboards, and I was like, wow, that is really cool. Very subtle, but just popping, you know. Yeah. So colors, graphics, shapes, and then I gotta say the Pow Cow has been really you know, I've gotten so much feedback from that. That's just Holstein cow graphic, you know, and people are just way into it. And so that, and also the Steamboat community, right? Like, people are very supportive of the hometown brands. And so I have gotten quite a bit of support from locals here in Steamboat. Thank you very much. It's just helped, you know. I go up on the ski hill now, or people go, I have friends that come to town and they're like, oh my God, I saw so many Harbin skis on the ski hill or whatever. Or I'll give my friends skis to ski up there. And they might be like prototypes or something nobody's ever seen. And people are like, oh my God, what are those? Are those going to be new? Or, you know, so that's kind of it. And then, you know, the scale-based thing and really trying to push that, you know, I know I'm not the only one doing it, but I'm doing it on bigger skis, different shapes, stuff like that. So
I have to laugh because, Eric, you are exactly why this podcast exists. Like, I could absolutely see myself loading the gondola and looking over and saying, oh, Harvest Skis, you know, oh, those are cool. I've heard about that brand, and have no idea necessarily, because you're so approachable and just such a great guy, that I'm sitting next to the founder of Harvest Skis. And that just so you know, Eli and I have talked Agnosium about how this show should feature more people like you, because of the fact that you're such a down to earth, but yet highly successful and just great guy. And yet here you are, the founder of this brand that now is starting to get some traction. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because in the early days when I was first starting to make those skis, the wood graphic skis, for lack of a better term, I would go up on the ski hill and ski alone and ride single, and every chairlift ride was a conversation, and so that was fun. Even today, like, I'll go out and stuff and get on the chair or whatever, and people will be like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, look at those skis. Some people have heard of a Harvest, some people haven't. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, yeah, I love them, they're great or whatever. I would never say, you know, oh, well, I'm the owner and founder, whatever. But it's funny because people, if they know me and I'm on the chair with them and people are talking, they'll bring it up. And especially like my wife, she's like, he's the founder, you know? And then like, yeah. And I'm, she, you know, like elbowing her, you know, whatever. But, you know, and it's fun because they're like, no way, you know? So that's cool. And I, you know, I kind of want to, again, get back to that, because like trying to play the game with the, you know, going to SIA, which turned into Outdoor Retailer. I mean, it's overwhelming, and you're just like, I mean, money, there's so much big money in skiing. You know, when you talk about these huge brands, it's just like, whoa, this is overwhelming.
You've got your 10 by 10 or your 10 by 20. And meanwhile, you're up against, you know, Solomon, who's got half the showroom.
Oh God. Yeah. One year we were right next to Solomon, which I was which is so funny, because it was great, because
brought in some traffic,
huge traffic. And I use Solomon bindings for my Alpine demo skis. And so it was incredible, but yeah, it was definitely like David and Goliath. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, but it was helpful.
I mean, it seems like there's a comparison to be made with, say, Moots, for instance, based here. And there's a whole hand-built, hand-welded subsection of the industry in bikes. Is it similar to in ski, where you're sort of not competing, but you might get some accolades for the fact that you are a hand-built ski? Does that exist? Is there a distinction there? Is it just more the story you tell?
You know, that's a great question. I think it resonates differently for different people. Obviously, there are people that pursue that real craft type thing, right? They drink craft beer. They want to eat the really good quality food that's, you know, grown in the valley or stuff like that. They look for these handmade bicycles, Moots and Ericsson, you know. And now Bingham built, right? Like, how cool is that? And so, there's that demographic. And then there's people who just really, the story is cool. So in the brand, they like that. They're like, ooh, that's really cool. And, but then you have that demographic who's, it's about bottom line, right? Like, so, you know, I mean, I get people like that hit me up like, oh, do you have any, you know, demo skis? I can't afford a brand new pair, whatever. So I get it. I mean, that was me, like, you know, that the tent sale in the parking lot, the, you know, the Meadows, that's where I would buy skis for the next year. I'd buy skis, you know, so I get it. You have those different demographics. And I think that, you know, again, in the community like Steamboat, a lot of people are really supportive of hometown brands, you know, and it's cool. Like, we have so many, great stories. You know, I actually worked for Peter Hall at Hala, just in the shop on Yampa, very part-time in the summer, just because I loved his product and I loved paddleboarding. I still do, right? And so, but I just wanted to support that and be a part of it, you know?
I think that's an amazing part of this community is you see a lot of the entrepreneurs that have built these brands that want to support the other people that are like them building their own brands. Hall is a good example. You look at Mountain Tap Breweries always putting out new craft beer based off of the Hall paddleboard or a Harvest ski,
right,
or something like that. And so there's a lot of that collaborative effort here in the community. I do want to shift gears though real quick, because we've been talking a lot about skis, but I want to talk about another one of your passions, which is music. You've been a musician for many years, a couple local bands, Old Town Pickers, Buffalo Commons, which, you know, unfortunately for a lot of us fans, you guys played your last show over New Year's. I'm sure
that, hey, you never know.
I'm sure that was a tough decision though, you know, to kind of move on. And you know, the band decided to kind of, a lot of you guys are going different ways and doing different things, but what is it like kind of closing that chapter of your music right now?
Yeah, wow, good question. It's definitely left, a void, you know, because it was just something that, I had been a part of for, I don't even know, man, 8 years, whatever it was. I can't even tell you, but it was an epic ride. That's for sure. There's a void there. There's certainly, some uncertainty, you know, but it was a time we felt like it was a time where we needed to step back and kind of look at where everybody was in life and kind of, just take a break. I mean, it was getting pretty busy and whatnot. So with that though, it's kind of also opened up other opportunities. I have started playing bass, upright bass, which is pretty fun, in a band in town called the Little Moon Travelers. And that band actually has, Vaughn Wilson in it, who plays banjo. And I started kind of my musical, journey here in Steamboat in the Old Town Pickers with Vaughn Wilson. I mean, that was way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the bass player in that band, Denton Turner, was the bass player in Buffalo Commons. So, it was interesting to keep kind of those common threads going. Now it's a new chapter. I'm excited about this new band and playing bass and with this band. Actually, we have a couple shows coming up. We have one, we're going to be playing Winter Wondergrass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nice. We actually got the call for that. We'll be playing Friday early. So get there early, Friday, Little Moon Travelers. Either 2:30, I think it's around 2:30. One of the first sets.
That's prime time.
We're opening. Yeah.
We're opening the entire festival.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. And it's free beer from 2 to 5 or something like that.
Right,
like,
there. You got me.
You got to be there. Yeah.
I mean, the music will be on stage too.
Oh, right.
That's right. Yeah. So shout out to Scotty and Winter Wondergrass and all that. Thank you. And then we have a show at Perry Mansfield. They're going to do Nick LaGorga with Yampa Valley Entertainment is doing this local music series, 5 shows. And we're the second show on March 22nd. It's going to be really cool. Renovated Julie Harris Theater, intimate. It's going to be awesome. And we're doing that show with Apple Pie Order.
Very cool. It's just a pleasure to have you here to learn more about Harvest Skies, hear more about what is in the future for you musically. I can't wait to get out on some Harvest Skies. As many people know, I've talked about it. I haven't skied for 3 years. I've told you that as soon as I get back out there, I'm going to be calling you up to get a pair of skis. And my wife skis Harvest, both the on the mountain and the homegrown tour out in the backcountry. We love your products and just wish you nothing but the best moving forward. Eric Baker, just another one of the common folk in the boat.